and I talked with her on the phone. And she began to console me, although she faces a future with four fatherless small boys. So we don't mourn alone. We mourn all those who have lost wonderful people. But there are some wonderful memories that give us strength and give us the courage to go on. Emil is right. The UAW is not the kind of organization that folds its tents and quietly steals away. It has known adversity. It was born in struggle and pain. It has survived the most brutal attacks of the biggest and most arrogant and powerful corporations in the world, with far less resources and membership and talent than what is available to our union today. There are consolations at the fact that some clear guidelines have been set forth. They were not developed in a weekend or in one convention. They have their roots deep in the history of our union. They were developed very carefully and cautiously over many long years, and all of our officers had a hand in shaping that set of guidelines, which serves as direction signs to chart our way. Walter's last act as an official of the UAW was to sign that statement in behalf of the officers and membership of our union, the form of a telegram to President Nixon, taking sharp issue with the tragic broadening of the war in Indochina, the waste of lives and of resources, lives that ought to be used here at home to build and construct, and resources that ought to be used to make new our cities and to build hospitals and schools and to make a more meaningful life for our people. I shall think of that final act, and I shall think of the fact that tomorrow, when we have memorial services, on that very day, Walter and I had been scheduled to be in New York at the United Nations, where Walter was to have held a joint press conference with U Thant, the General Secretary of the United Nations. A press conference to announce the holding in June of a United Nations conference on the subject, the impact of urbanization on the human environment. I know of no incident where the United Nations has agreed that a private trade union should serve as host for an official United Nations conference. But our union is not an average union. Our union is not a run-of-the-mill union. It is a unique union which cares about things far beyond an extra nickel in the pay envelope and a little more suction on the job. It is a union that is concerned about the brotherhood of man and about all phases of the life and well-being of people, their children, their families. That's why the Family Center was built. And it is somewhat ironic that Walter and May lost their lives on their way to that center. But in my mind, that tragedy only adds to the significance and importance of that center. A center of which I think I can say, in all truthfulness, Walter was as much the architect as Oscar. Not that he drew the plans, but I never watched anyone in my life follow an architect or a builder or a craftsman around with such a critical eye. to make sure that every detail measured up to perfection. And lo and behold, if a cigarette butt was found on the first new rug that had been laid, or that one of those lovely pieces of furniture had been scratched to the slightest degree, that is the place to really love. It's beautiful. It soars like a cathedral out of those beautiful woods and besides that lovely lake. And our people need to know and feel and enjoy that kind of beauty. And they will. And that will be a center that will help transmit the kind of philosophy that our union has acquired over 30 years, transmit it to new generations of leadership. It's inevitable that the day would have come anyway when Walter would have had to lay down the tools and pass on the responsibility to others. It has come tragically too soon. But those who do not know our union and do not know what makes it tick, they may speculate. They may write their columns. And they may be filled with frustration because they depended so much upon that branch of the labor movement that cared about things that went beyond the shop. But they do not know the UAW if they think that it was dependent upon one man and his leadership. Walter said to you many times in this hall and in official conventions, it's not a union of one man or one person. It's not about Walter Reuther. It's not about the leadership of the union. It's about the guys in the shop, the people in the shop. That's what it's about. Those people haven't changed. The reasons for the existence of the UAW hasn't changed. And as families come together in moments of tragedy and sadness and take strength from one another, this moment of sadness will bring us together and make us stronger still. I know many are thinking of a tribute to May and to Walter. Let there be a tribute. But Walter would not want it in stone and steel or marble. He would want the tribute to be to carry on the work that's been gotten underway so well. That's the tribute, I think, that he would like. And so we will all learn. It will be difficult, but we will all learn to wipe away the tears and to pick up the tools again and to go on to complete the unfinished tasks. There are not many moments in UAW meetings where there is no time limit or restriction imposed upon those who take the microphone. And there are no such limitations on me today, but there are other limitations than time which require that I conclude what I wanted to say. But I can't end without just a few words of special tribute to our father and mother who gave us inspiration in the very early days of our lives, in a family of workers that knew all the difficulties of the steel and the coal areas of West Virginia and a very modest income. And I want to acknowledge that contribution which my father, which our father and our mother have made. And I want to take this occasion to all my colleagues and my dear friends in UAW who have been under the mistaken apprehension that there were only three Reuther brothers. We were around where the speeches were to be made, and we had our photographs taken, and we had the great joys that go with the achievements of UAW. But there is one Ruther brother who preceded us all, the older, who carried a heavy burden during all of these years. To the extent that Walter, Roy, and I always felt a deep sense of guilt, that our tasks and our responsibilities kept us so far removed from wheeling in the coal fields, where we could have taken more of a personal hand in helping our father and mother when they approached the twilight years of their lives. And I want to acknowledge to my brother Ted and his lovely wife, Anne, our deep and everlasting appreciation. I want to also say there are two other people in this city whom we would have been proud to have included from the very beginning as members of the Ruther family. And if there is an honor to being a member of that family, they earned it a long time ago. I speak of Irving and Zelda Bluestone. For on all too many occasions when tragedy struck, they were there to help. They were there to help with a kind of counseling and the handling of the very difficult problems which in moments of sadness and crisis, husbands and wives and children shouldn't have to deal with. And I want to acknowledge that deep debt of gratitude. And I want to say to all of the officers how deeply touched and pleased our family was to learn that they had asked Irving Bluestone to speak in behalf of the UAW at tomorrow's memorial services. So I thank all of you for coming. I thank you for the joy that you have given to all of us in our family, despite the heartaches that have been intermingled with it. It's been an enormously satisfying experience to work with people who shared these same hopes and goals. I close with a few words which Walter spoke some time ago. He said, "To men of goodwill, we extend our hand. Together we shall go forward, and together we shall build that better tomorrow in the image of peace, in the image of freedom, in the image of social justice, and in the image of human brotherhood." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vic. Well, Leonard, would you like to I'd like to announce at this time that arrangements have been made to permit all of the staff in Detroit, our office and maintenance employees, to attend the funeral services tomorrow. There's apparently been some follow-up on the invitations, but I do believe that before the day is over, we'll be able to distribute them in the building. And if not, if they're not distributed before your quitting time, I'm sure that if you come down to the Ford Auditorium tomorrow morning, that we'll have machinery set up that will enable you to get into the Ford Auditorium without any difficulty. My notes show that we're to close this memorial service today with singing of solidarity, and I frankly do not think that I'm emotionally capable of leading it at this point. Where's our good singers? Is Joe Bono here? Why don't we all stand?
I'll give you a hand. Let's hold hands. Come on. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the Union makes us strong.
Thank you very much. This will conclude the memorial service.
It's not easy.